Snap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D. Yeah,
Ireland's most popular band, most famous band, U2 on a St. Patrick's Day Friday. Good to have you with us on Sports Map Radio, continuing to buzz about the NCAA tournament from yesterday and the two upsets. We had Princeton over Arizona and then Furman knocking off the four seed Virginia. The Paladins advancing to round number two. Dan Scott is the play-by-play announcer for Furman on a Progressive guest line. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $700 on average. How are you, Dan?
I am doing well, as you might imagine.
I can imagine.
It's been a fun day.
I want to ask you from the point of view that you had, from the moment you're kind of thinking normal basketball should probably end this way, and then it ends the way it ends. How did you keep the flow of that game and that action through your mind as you were calling that last few seconds?
Well, I told someone earlier today that I operate under the premise of that great scene from the movie Bull Durham where Crash Davis tells Nuclear Luke, "Don't think you can only hurt the team."
Yeah, sure.
So I don't try to get ahead of myself. I have an old-time radio mentality. I'm the eyes of the audience, so I just try to describe what I'm seeing in the moment as it happens. And anybody in radio knows that you can do what I'm about to say. I'm describing it, but my mind is also thinking, what in the world is this kid doing? Why is he making this pass? And you start to see how it unfolds. And it's one of those things that we were on the floor courtside, and J.P. Pegues let that shot go right in front of us. And as soon as he let it go, I knew it was in. It was right on line. It was just one of those indelible moments where everything came together. And the flip side of it is, you go back last year in the Southern Conference championship game in overtime when we hit a shot to go up with 4.3 seconds to go, and Chattanooga's David Jean Batiste comes all the way across the floor and launches that 35-foot prayer. I had the perfect view of that, and as soon as he let that shot go, I knew we were in trouble. It was right on line. So it's funny how God works. He brings you full circle on things, and you think you're going to have the big moment one year, and you wait, and the next year you have an even bigger moment as a broadcaster, and I'm just blessed that to do the job that I do and to have that seat yesterday because it was insane. It really was insane.
When you talk about schools like Furman, and you just talked about that SoCon championship last year, these are conferences that just get their conference tournament winner in, and you don't know when that day is going to ever come. You don't know how that's going to come again. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. It's not like an ACC tournament where they get like six teams in or some other place where you don't have to win it, but you still get in. How did this team go from, we almost got into the NCAA tournament, now we've got to start the whole process again to try to get back where we just left off to close the deal so that we can get into the tournament for the first time in 43 years?
Well, it's a credit to Bob Ritchie and his leadership and the coaching staff, and then for the team to buy in the hotel room last year, the day after that happened. They had a team meeting before they got on the bus from Asheville and headed the hour's drive back down to campus in Greenville. And Bob told them this is either going to be a stepping stone or a stumbling block. And we have to decide right here, right now, what it's going to be. And they made the collective decision it was going to be a stepping stone. And then when Jalen Slauson and Mike Bothwell made the collective decision to come back to Furman for their fifth year, now all of a sudden you've got a veteran team. You've got those two guys in their fifth year. Marcus Foster is a redshirt junior. So you've got some leadership on that team. And that they just determined that what happened last year was not going to define them. You know, they said all the right things all year long. We put it behind us. We're focusing on this year, this team. And I really believe they operated that way. But when they got that monkey off their back last Monday in Asheville, obviously there was a lot of talk about last year and reliving that moment and now having the opportunity to put it to bed and advanced to the NCAAs for the first time in 43 years. It's really been an incredible story to follow. The rejuvenation of this program, guys, goes back. I'm in my 12th season. Goes back 8 years in the first winning season that the program had had in forever. So it's been a fun story to watch unfold. And this, on one hand, is the culmination of it. But, you know, they're determined that it's going to be something they're going to be in the conversation about year in and year out.
Tell me about Jalen Slauson. Is he an NBA-level player? He is an outstanding player. Is he an NBA prospect?
Bob Ritchie thinks he is.
Yeah.
And Bob's evaluations are pretty good. He has the unique ability to affect the game in just about every way the game is played. And if you watched yesterday when Mike Bothwell fouled out, Jalen Slauson went to him coming out of that huddle, put his arms around him and said, "You will wear this jersey again." And then went out and had a personal 9-0 run to go from 6 down to 3 up. His ability to shoot the three has gotten better over the last couple of years. And defensively, he is an absolute demon. It's incredible to watch this young man play. So is he an NBA player? I think he's got the potential to be. And whether he gets there or not, nobody knows. But because he can affect the game in every phase of the game, I believe he's got a chance to play at that level.
There seems to be a formula here with upsets where you get a team and they hang around and they hang around and they hang around. And if they're there at the end, then things can start to happen. There's pressure on the higher seed to play better and get this nuisance out of their way. And they press. But then there's always that moment where you hang around and then the gap just gets wide and you can't come back and you run out of gas. Furman was down in this game and then they switched up and went to zone and then they got back into this. Is that the senior leadership you were talking about? Walk us through that process where it looks like Virginia's just going to get out of this thing. It's tough, but they're just going to get out of this thing. And then next thing you know, Furman's leading this game.
Well, first of all, I think Bob's decision to switch to the 1-3-1 half-court trap was brilliant. Obviously, in hindsight, it was.
Yeah.
They had played in 30 – what was yesterday, 35th game in 34 games. They had maybe played 15 defensive possessions of that all season long. They just needed to do something to shake it up. And Virginia is one of those teams, and you know how they play. They're going to run the shot clock down. They take care of the basketball. They generally don't make mistakes. And when they got up by 12, I think Bob felt like they had to do something to speed the game up a little bit. And that was the decision they went with. And obviously you saw the results. It had a big impact on Furman's ability to come back. But the other part of your question, there's no question that the leadership played a role in it, because Furman has faced adversity like all basketball teams do this season. And more often than not, they find a way to fight through it. We had a 20-point lead in the semifinals of the Southern Conference tournament and blew it. And fell behind and yet found a way to come back, hit some crucial free throws to force overtime, and then win it in overtime. Led the championship game by 19 in the first half, and Chattanooga got back within one before they were able to reel it in and do what needed to be done to take care of the basketball and hit some big shots down the stretch. So this is a team that's faced adversity. I knew one thing for sure yesterday. They might not win the game, but they were not going to be intimidated. They were not going to be rattled. This team is too old and has been through too much to have that happen.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier. It feels like over the last few years now, teams with the way transfers work now and whatnot, there is no reason why anyone should ever be intimidated. It's still going to happen in some places, but it's happened so much that coaches could point back and say, "We're as good as any of these teams that have ever upset anybody in the NCAA tournament. We could do it today." It felt like Richie was saying to his kids, "Have a good time. Really enjoy this. Let's go out and really enjoy this."
You know, it's funny. He referenced in one of his press conferences in the week prior that, you know, obviously we're happy to be here, but we're not just happy to be here. And I think the thing he said after the championship game and the post-game press conference, the last thing he said was, "We're not done yet." And people around the country probably heard that and said, "Yeah, well, that's what the coach is supposed to say." saw the matchup with Virginia and thought that, well, you know, nice run for Furman, but it's done. But the thing that Bob has done, and going back to Nico Medved before him, is not build a team like you do in the transfer portal. This is build a program. This is developed. And you need to look no further than J.P. Pegues,
yep,
who only played about 12 and a half minutes a game last year. And look at what he's become this year. It's incredible.
Dan, great stuff, Dan. Congratulations. Enjoy the next game. I really appreciate your time. We love these kind of stories. And thank you for shedding light on the Furman Paladins, the 13 seed that knocked off four. Thank you so much, Dan.
Thank you for having me.
You got it. Furman play-by-play man Dan Scott on the Paladins' victory over the Cavaliers. We continue on Wake Up Call.